Time in Christ is a timeline.
This is a podcast of Climate Crisis in the Pipeline.
Climate Crisis in the Pipeline.
Climate Crisis in the Pipeline.
You're listening to the second podcast on the Climate Crisis in the Pipeline project. In this podcast, we speak with journalists, community members, and activists in Uganda on how freely Ugandan media does report on the ECOP project.
We realized that increasingly the media was unwilling to publish articles that were critical.
You only find a few of them turning up.
There's some information that is being concealed.
They usually tell us, you guys, it is hard to put this on media.
Government is so intentional about oil and gas, so they will do whatever it costs.
Recently, on May 3rd, the World Press Freedom Day reminded us of the importance of journalism in the face of the environmental crisis, seen in the slogan of UNESCO, which hosts the World Press Freedom Day conference for journalists in Uganda. This might also mean reporting about construction of the longest heated crude oil pipeline in the world, ECOP, amidst the global climate crisis. Reporting on the social, environmental, and human concerns associated with the East African crude oil pipeline has been controversial. Local communities maintain that the project has affected them negatively, and civil society and activists reveal that the project will harm the environment. On the other hand, government maintains that the project has developed local communities and will boost Uganda's economy. The country's rank lowered to place 133 out of 180 in the World Press Freedom Index 2023 of Reporters Without Borders. Speaking with journalists, community members, and activists in Uganda, we retrace how freely Ugandan media can and does report on the ECOP project and which potential media has as a tool for shaping public opinion on an informed basis and even resistance.
This compulsory land acquisition affected 7,118 people, where I happened to be one of those communities. I was living in one of the villages.
Christopher Opio is busy, sitting in his small office in Chakabogari settlement village, close to the Ugandan city of Hoima. We talked to him through video call, as he's just coming back from court. Not far away from Lake Albert, where the oil for the ECO pipeline is underground, lies his village of origin. Back in 2012, an oil refinery was supposed to be built there. It was one of the first large land acquisitions of the Ugandan government for oil activities.
During the processes of the land acquisition, there were so many violations of rights, including compensation rights, land rights for women and the youth. So there were so many things that were not being considered. If I can say, there were no due process in this acquisition, much as, yes, our law is clear. If government wants land, yes, they can acquire it, but should follow a due process, which they did not do.
This is why Christopher Opio united with others to form the Oil Refinery Residents Association. He's the team leader of the organization with more than 7,000 members and 25 employees, determined to demand for their rights from government and others. On the day of our interview, 15th April 2024, he and others were in protest in front of the High Court of Hoima City. The reason?
Recently, there are 42 households that were taken to court by government because they had refused to receive compensation for their property because they claimed it was inadequate. There were no due processes followed. So government took them to court, and the court judged in favor of government, and these people are now being evicted from their land.
Evicted for the Tilenga project of the French oil company Total Energies. At the Tilenga project, located on the northern part of Lake Albert, partly within the Murchison Falls National Park, Total Energies will drill the oil that's to be transported through the East African crude oil pipeline up to the coast of Tanzania. Regarding media presence, the protest day at the Hoima court is a lucky day, according to Opio.
You find that you have so many media houses that you reached out to, you only find a few of them turning up. I wanted to see the number of the ones that turned up today. Let me check. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Anyway, we were lucky today. We got about 8 of them from different media houses.
All too often, people affected by ECOP and other oil projects find their concerns not echoed by the media. on the protest day in Hoima.
Varieties we have. Yes. We want them to be conserved. Mm-hmm. We want everything to be in order. Yes. That is, we are not the enemies of the product.
Yes. Yes.
We are just citizens and we are concerned citizens.
Yeah.
We are concerned youth.
Yes.
We are concerned the farms.
Yeah.
We want our to have their own cases, yes, within 4 days, and yet community people are also have issued them to the court some 10 years ago, and the courts have always been adjourned.
True.
Is that fair?
No.
We don't want such injustices to our own people.
Yes.
Who have allowed to give their land for development.
Yes.
We want that development to be very friendly to us. Yes. We are ready for the development. We want that development.
Tony Katende from Witness Radio is present. He speaks with Claire Tusime, whose real name remains concealed according to her wishes. She shows solidarity with landowners who refused compensation for their land and now have to deal with the court system. She reveals she had to give up her land some years ago for the East African crude oil pipeline.
As a youth and a woman, I normally give out the information, but when sometimes I get data and I go on WhatsApp or on media, I normally see my information, they have taken it, but there is no specific answer. They just hide something. They say, oh, things are very okay. Even I heard last time they brought those guys from France who are responsible for the projects of oil and gas. They came, but I saw in the media that everything is going on well. But I'm wondering, why can't they come on the ground to the communities who are affected and they see what people are passing through?
What people are going through seems to be so far, also for many journalists who work from Kampala and other large towns. Nevertheless, they were on ground, especially 10 years ago when Christopher Opio began work with the Oil Refinery Residents Association. He wrote articles for newspapers and also invited journalists to inform themselves.
I'll first go back where we started in 2012. Actually, the best friend we had were media houses, because I remember that time a lot of things were happening in our community. And what we did then, we so much befriended. We became friends with journalists. Whenever we wanted something to go out, we would call them. We had several press briefs, and it is the only thing that helped us to put the issue into the public domain.
Another organization against EACOP in the public domain is the Ugandan NGO AFIEGO. AFIEGO fights for socially and environmentally just energy policies. Resisting the construction of EACOP, they went up to France to file a case against Total Energies. Diana Naviruma from AFIEGO observes a shift in media coverage of the oil project over the past years.
Before 2022, the media was very balanced, very fair and critical. Now something started happening in 2022. We realized that increasingly the media was unwilling to publish articles that were critical of the ECO project and the other oil projects that are in the country, including the Tilenga and Kingfisher. To date, in fact, one media house pulled down all the opinion articles. It's an online media house that it had ever published, and these were anti-eco. So the space used to be open, but at the moment, the space is very closed, and one has to be very innovative to ensure that voices that are critical and are speaking the truth, including community and women's voices against the eco, that they are published.
During the Hoima protests before the court that began at one of the hotels where landowners were marching to the court premises to present their petition, the landowners were holding placards with messages, "Stop land grabs, don't displace us for oil, our land, our lives, delayed justice is justice denied, and don't drill on our rights," among others. In the presence of journalists, police officers, court officials and passers-by, they watched helplessly as the leader of the protesters demanded action from court officials and government about the order given by court allowing government to evict the 42 households.
You know, the oil and gas sector has a lot of dynamics. Whereas as media would want to tell some of these stories, sometimes you have limits. Because in media, you're told to look to have fair hearing.
Alan Mwesigwa from one of the private television stations, NBS, says It's not easy to report on EACOP fairly.
You go to communities who accuse a government or a project, and those people don't speak up. When they don't speak up, it becomes tricky for me as a journalist. One, I don't have a balanced story. And for us, you're supposed to have a balanced story.
Mwesigwa reports that international companies do not bribe, but they might deny you any information if you ask from a critical standpoint. Also, the Ugandan government uses these tactics, according to Emmanuel Okello, who's in Hoima for the Uganda Radio Network.
There's some information that is being concealed. Even if you ask it from who, they cannot give the media. You know, government, they cannot give everything. Actually, they give partial information. There's some information that are confidential that I don't give, when actually the public is supposed to consume the information. So to a certain extent, government has not done enough in terms of transparency.
The government even uses the law to limit freedom of expression and journalistic investigations, according to organizations like Reporters Without Borders and Human Rights Network Uganda. For example, the Computer Misuse Act was amended in Uganda in 2022 to further restrict access to information by journalists. According to Reporters Without Borders, the new law is providing for extremely harsh penalties. It restricts investigative journalism and compromises access to information for citizens and journalists. Journalists might be hindered and criminalized, in particular when political interest comes in. This is according to Alan Mwesigwa from NBS Television.
But also look at a matter of fact. Sometimes we need to be fair and sincere to ourselves. Our government is so intentional about oil and gas, so they will do whatever it costs to ensure that that project runs. So you as one person, it becomes tricky as a journalist.
In order to protect their personal lives, some journalists might choose to report on less controversial topics than the oil project. This is what other journalists have said to Emmanuel Ongia, who's a human rights defender amidst the oil activities.
But as time went on, and now if you write something concerning the oil project in the area, you will never see that published. They usually tell us, you guys, it is hard to put this on media, because whenever we publish something of this kind, we receive calls from big people. I don't know, the big people are always in quotes, but I don't know who are the big people. So what they tell us, we receive calls from big people to maybe delete them off from online and other things. So that is the challenge we are getting concerning putting up our voices.
Not only the journalists are intimidated, but community members too, who express their grievances. Claire Tusime reports.
Only when I give those informations, you get a message from even somebody who doesn't know. Say, hey, you people, you're lying. You people, you misused your money. Again, you're saying that the government did not compensate you very well. Even who doesn't know the people who are giving those messages.
It's not just about intimidation, though. Media houses in Uganda, just like elsewhere, need advertisement and financing for sustainability. And international fossil fuel companies bring a lot with them. Diana Nabiruma from the NGO Afiego explains.
The big fat animal in the room is addressing state and corporate capture. Media houses are struggling with finances, and if the oil and gas industry players are some of its main advertisers, then persistently publishing critical stories against the industry can become difficult because the media houses have commercial interests. So addressing corporate and state capture is very, very critical in ensuring that we have a free, independent, and fair press.
Press freedom in Uganda. Apparently, Total Energies cares about it too. At least they were one of several sponsors of a gala for the World Press Freedom Day in 2022. Over 25 Ugandan media houses convened in a football stadium to create good relationships and unity among the media fraternity on the bill of Total Energies. In the same year, the Uganda National Journalism Award was sponsored by the French company wanting to drill oil in Uganda and to build a massive pipeline for exporting it. Besides those entanglements, human rights and climate activists and community members still try to create space for their voices in Ugandan media. Afiego has found that addressing international media houses can be useful in this regard.
The mainstream ones are unlikely to publish unless the article is first published in the international press by a wire agency, for instance. Then the local mainstream press particularly may run the stories. But there are media houses that are owned by the Ugandan government, and those might not even republic. So that's what I said. We have to be very innovative in trying to get critical voices into the Ugandan press, and that's one of the ways in which we are innovative. If we can get the international press to cover, especially a wire agency, then you could have the local press republishing.
Next to writing own articles and inviting journalists to trips on ground, civil society organizations also use social media to express themselves directly. Christopher Opio from Aura.
Now we realize the power of social media. Things like WhatsApp, Twitter, X, formerly Twitter. We send so much information. We are using media to now mobilize people, especially on our X handle. But we are so much on Twitter, putting up all the things that we want, the demands and what we want government to do. So you will see that we use that so much to put out our voice.
Despite media being far from free and balanced about the EACOP and oil activities in Uganda, activists and communities still believe that media is an important tool to support their work. Christopher Opio from Aura.
And whenever it is in public, so it becomes so hard even for government. So the issues attract so many other solidarity from other people. You find so many people talking about it, and in the end, some actions are taken. So the media is very critical in this kind of work, especially around human rights and environment. Much as we can write to an authority, but we also need to publicize it so that other people who are interested can help us, you know. And that's what has been happening. In 2012, I told you, it was us, the community. But when we started engaging media, these issues went outside in the public domain. So we started seeing so many other organizations, civil society organizations, came and they were speaking the same thing. They started amplifying our voices way, way far than where we were reaching.
Prophet to the king in the city, and I will tell him when he loses his way. I'm a prophet to the king in the city. I will tell him there's a writing on the wall. I'm God's messenger, standing for freedom, and I'll tear down the walls that stand against freedom. But my words, they never die away. There's a generation that will be free. They'll remember my name for the right reasons. You will see me fall and you will see me bleed. But my words, they never die away. There's a generation that will be free. And they'll remember my name for the right reasons. They'll call me freedom. My name is freedom. They'll call me freedom, freedom, freedom. My name is freedom. That will be free, and they'll remember my name for the right reasons.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to our second podcast on the climate crisis in the Pipeline Project. Stay tuned.